Welcome back to the Homeschool Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida, the host of the Homeschool Podcast, and I'm here with my co-host, Kevin Lyons.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
And we're here in the Too High McFly studio today, so switching things up. I don't know. The house is quiet. It just has like one of those like we should whisper feels to it right now, and I feel like we sound different than normal too to people, so probably they're going to realize that we're not in our usual studio. But anyway, guys, this is going to be a very fun episode. I've been wanting to do one for a while. If you don't already know, about once a month we do a segment on here called Laughter Peace Theater, where we will play some of our favorite stand-up clips and kind of talk about why we like them, or talk about the comic and how they wrote it, just kind of break it down for you, or just our thoughts on it. And we're going to continue to do that, but this one's going to be a little special. So normally everyone has a theme, like, we're going to do food, so we'll play a bunch of stand-up tracks about food and stuff like that. But this one I'm going to do a little different. We've been doing it for over like a year now, once a month for like a year and a half. So it's time to get a little creative with it. So right now I'm going to do a battle. And it's not just any type of battle. This is going to be a battle of old school versus new school, dude.
Okay.
So I'm going to play older comics who are, older or maybe even passed away, and play some of their older stuff, and then compare it to someone who I would say took their place or who kind of remind me of them, the newer version.
Okay.
And we're going to compare them, and we're going to have a battle.
It's not like the same material, types of material.
Not at all. So
it's
last time,
like,
yeah.
It's just like the new age version of like – of like Rodney Dangerfield or something like that.
Yeah, last time we did, we actually did do people who had similar jokes and did a who did it better.
Yeah.
But this time it's different. We're going to actually have like comics battling each other.
Old school
versus new school, dudes. So I have a bunch loaded up. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about the ones that I have selected to play for you guys today. I hope you enjoy it. Before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Embrace Pet Insurance. You guys, if you have a pet, I think it's very important that you have insurance for your pet, because anything could happen. Accidents happen. Sometimes your pet might swallow something, might get hit by a car. They get diseases. They get cancer. Listen, you guys, they get older a lot quicker than we do, and just stuff happens, all right? And it just makes a lot of sense to have insurance for your pet, because they're part of the family. And you want to make sure that they're insured, so you're not spending an arm and a leg, all right? So click the link in the description and get yourself a quote today from Embrace Pet Insurance, all right? All I'm asking you to do is get a quote by clicking the link in the description. I'm not saying you got to buy anything. I'm just saying check it out to see if it's affordable for you and your pets. There's different plans, and there's plans for different kinds of pets, okay? A smaller pet, a larger one, dog, cat. Just check it out. It's worth your time just to get a quote. And you're helping out the Homeschool Podcast at the same time, right, Kev?
That's right.
You got that music ready?
Oh, yeah.
Because we are about to play our intro music. I don't know why I had a brain fart there for a second. But we're about to play some stand-up comedy tracks for you. And I'm glad that you guys are here. And let's have some fun. This is Homeschooled Podcast.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all. Right. Are you excited, Kevin?
Dude,
I don't think
so
you're
excited.
Nearly as excited.
Well, it's
because
you're very whispery, and it's hard to get excited when you're whispering.
Am I whispering?
No. It just
I'm louder than
like
you
that,
are.
Cause, well, because you're wearing headphones and I'm not. That's why.
Yeah. So we both sound fine.
All right. Great.
Okay. So it's funny you should mention Rodney Dangerfield. Okay, because I am going to play him. But first, I'm going to compare. See, a lot of people, they compare Rodney Dangerfield to other one-lining comics. But I'm going to do like sort of a old school versus new school, which is odd because both of these guys have passed on. And I don't know if you can call him new school, but he is kind of. Okay, so I'm going to play. Who do you think it is?
Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, I'm going to play Mitch Hedberg, who often gets compared to other comics, but I don't think that they've ever been compared. They're both one-liner, really creative, funny. One-liner jokes,
mm-hmm.
And I want to play it. I want to compare those two. So let's start with Mitch Hedberg. I don't know if you can consider that new school. I mean, it is. I mean, he didn't die that long ago.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that like this clip I'm about to play for you, or some of it, is from 2013.
Okay.
I like rice.
rice. Rice is great when you're hungry and you want 2,000 of something. My mom loves those applause breaks. Refried beans. I like refried beans. That's why I want to try fried beans, because maybe they're just as good and we're wasting time. I went to a pizzeria. I ordered a slice of pizza. The dude gave me the smallest slice possible. If the pizza was a pie chart for what people would do if they found $1 million, this dude gave me the donate to charity slice. I would like to exchange this for the keep it. I tried to walk into Target, but I missed. I think the entrance to Target should have people splattered all around. I was walking by a dry cleaner at 3 a.m. and the sign said, "Sorry, we're closed." You don't have to be sorry. It's 3 a.m. and you're a dry cleaner. It would be ridiculous for me to expect you to be open. I'm not going to walk in at 10 and say, "Hey, man, I walked by at 3. You guys were closed. Somebody owes me an apology." I've been working. Hey, that's right. You guys did that for my mom. I find that Duck's opinion of me is very much influenced over whether or not I have bread.
I love that one.
A duck loves bread, but he does not have the capability to buy a loaf. That's the biggest joke on the duck ever. Like, if I worked at a convenience store and a duck came in and grabbed a loaf of bread with his beak and walked out, I let him go. I say, "Come back tomorrow, bring your friends." I bought a two-bedroom house, but it's up to me how many bedrooms there are, though, isn't it? This bedroom has an oven in it. This bedroom has a lot of people sitting around watching TV. This bedroom is AKA a hallway.
AKA.
This bedroom's over in that guy's house.
This bedroom's over in that guy's
house. Sir, you have one of my bedrooms. If you're watching a parade, make sure you stand in one spot. Don't follow it. It never changes. And if you don't like the parade, run in the opposite direction. You will fast forward the parade.
So funny, dude.
Dude, I love Mitch Hedberg, man.
I don't know if you can tell, but it was like a couple.
Yeah, sounded...
Someone put piece together some of his best, which I'm kind of glad. And there's more to it than that, but my Rodney Dangerfield clip is only about 3 minutes also, so I wanted to kind of even it out, you know, okay. So they play the same amount. I mean, that's tough to follow right there, dude. I mean, he is so witty.
And those
witty.
Were a lot of his best ones, too.
Yeah, and he's fast, and I mean, there's only one guy who I think might be able to follow it.
Okay, let's go.
Let's play Rodney Dangerfield.
Shape, you know? I mean, last week I bought a whirlpool for my bath. So far, I lost 3 of my best ships. Well, you can last week, nothing went right. I bought a waterbed. There were 2 Cuban guys swimming in it looking for Florida. I tell you, people are nuts, you know? My dentist, too, another beauty, my dentist, he found a new way to hide his bad breath. He holds up his arms. I tell you, I mean, there's wise guys. Well, I check in a hotel, I asked the bellhop to handle my bag. He started to feel up my wife. Well, I said to him, I said, "Hey, buddy, who told you could play around with my wife?" He said, "Everybody." I tell my wife I can never relax, you know? I told her our kid is spoiled. She told me a lot of kids smell that way. lousy cook, too. She can't cook at all. I leave dental floss in the kitchen, the roaches hang themselves. Well, she don't go for me either. I'm not a good-looking guy. Well, Halloween, I open the front door, kids give me candy. Are you kidding? I know I'm ugly. My dog found out we look alike. He killed himself. I was an ugly kid, too. My old man took me to the zoo. The guy at the gate thanked him for returning me. And I was a very ugly kid. Every time my old man wanted sex, my mother showed him my picture. A very ugly kid. In my sandbox, the cat kept covering me up all the time, you know? When I was a kid, nobody was nice. I was 6 years old. I found out there's no such thing as Alpo baby food. I mean, nobody was nice. My mother never breastfed me. She told me she liked me as a friend. I mean, I had a rough. I told my old man I'm sick and tired of running around in circles. He got mad. He nailed down my other foot. I mean, that's destroying my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. No respect at all. Well, when I was born, the doctor told my mother I did all I could, but he pulled through anyway, you know? I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, last week my house was on fire. My wife told the kids, be quiet, you wake up daddy.
All right, man. I mean, it's I like Rodney Dangerfield. No, it's not. It's very easy for
you me. You got your decision?
Oh, fuck yeah. But I mean, the thing is, I like Rodney Dangerfield because I like him as a character, especially because I remember watching him in the movies. But, like, his material feels very like, well, this guy's funny uncle at the parties. He's just got, you know.
Yeah.
I like Mitch Hedberg's one-liners way better.
Really?
I feel like they're a little bit smarter, but they're also developed at way different times. What was that, the 70s for
That was 1980, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of that was developed in the 70s.
Yeah. Like, it just, Mitch Hedberg's one-liners feel like there's a lot more thought goes into them because, I mean, honestly, those are probably the first one-liners were Rodney Dangerfield, probably. You know what I mean? They weren't that creative. They're kind of like, haha, that's what there's knee.
Well, slappers. They were creative because he created them.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's a tough one because they're both so creative when it comes to the one-liners. Mm-hmm. And but I think just because of the punchline, the amount of time between punchlines, mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna go with Rodney Dangerfield. Like, I think quicker laughs and more laughs with each joke.
Well, I think it was easier to make people laugh back then. In the 80s, I mean, I don't know. I like Mitch's performance too, because he was like a character. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield was a character, but I mean, Mitch Hedberg, I mean, he sounds like he's on drugs. I think
Mitch Hedberg is definitely a character too, but who knows, you know, how much of that he was forced. But I mean, he really was on drugs.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is just like the way that he talks makes me feel like I'm on drugs too. And because when I'm on drugs, I think of weird shit too. Like, that's,
you know, what's so funny? He's inspired so many one-liner comics that I know so many, like, comics that just, they sound so much like him.
Yeah.
Like, the guys that do one-liners, it's just like, dude, you're doing Hedberg. Wait, they copy
his voice and everything?
Yeah.
Really?
Dude, and he has some of, like, the most famous one-liners, too. Like, the other day I was doing that rehab show that I do, and one of the people who were a resident in there, you know, I always, like, encourage if they want to get up and say something or afterwards, you know. And one time one guy was like, yeah, I want to do some stand-up. And he went up and he, like, kind of told a story about something. And then, like, I feel like he was feeling like he bombed. So, like, towards the end, he just dropped a Mitch Hedberg joke.
Did he really? Like,
yeah.
Like, an actual word-for-word joke?
He did the one where he goes, like, I used to do a lot of cocaine. I still do, but I used to, too.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the most famous, like, Mitch Hedberg joke. But Rodney Dangerfield just, like, I mean, anybody who says, like, I don't get any respect, you know you're coining, that's the coin, Rodney Dangerfield. Mm-hmm. Anybody who, like, wiggles their tie, you know you're doing Rodney Dangerfield. Like, it's just so famous.
I like that one Rodney Dangerfield joke. Is, oh, yeah, my wife likes to talk after six, so she called me from the hotel room.
Yeah, that was
like,
so that's great. That's he's funny. Got so many My Wife jokes.
I was showing my brother a bunch of stand-up comedy when I was home for Christmas, and he saw a bunch of guys, and he was just like, huh. He laughed his ass off at Mitch Hedberg.
Yes.
He thought he was so funny.
I mean, they're both so funny. It's a tough one.
I love it when he's just like, I was playing music in my apartment really loud, and the neighbor started banging on the wall. And I go, the door is on the other side. You're on the wrong side. I can't open the wall.
I think that, you know, I was thinking that, you know, we're gonna have winners here. They're battling each other. I was going to say, like, we should have, like, other episodes where they come back and we'll have, like, a semifinals type thing. So I think that Rodney Dangerfield and Mitch Hedberg, I think we need a tiebreaker in the future. Okay. Because they just tied it up.
But Mitch has my heart.
All right.
I like his material better and his performance.
I'm going to go over to, this time, let's start with old school.
Okay.
I'm going to go over to something. Now, I guess you can say maybe both of these guys are sort of one-liners, but not really. I mean, they are, but I would say that, first of all, they're both really dark. one more than the other one. And I'd say it's like fictional comedy. You know, it's joke-telling. But it's like you can tell, like, obviously none of this happened. It was just really creative. Let's start with Stephen Wright.
Okay.
You ready? Mm-hmm. You like Stephen Wright?
Yeah. All right.
Until he gets up there.
UFO landed. Three 1-inch tall guys get out. They walked over to me. I said, are you really 1-inch tall? They said, no, we're really very far away. My friend George walked his dog all at once. Walking from Boston to Fort Lauderdale and back. And he said, no, you're done.
That's actually funny. I love that.
One night George wasn't home. I went over to his house. I broke in. I went up to his dog and I put little contact lenses in his eyes that had cats on them. Dog was flipping out all over the place. I took one out and he ran in circles. I was 5 years old watching TV. Only you can prevent forest fires. Oh, no. Every night out the window with a bucket of water. My uncle was a clown for Ringling Brothers Circus. And when he died, all his friends went to the funeral in one car.
A one-way dead-end street.
I don't know how I ever got there. I've been getting into astronomy, so I installed a skylight. People live above me are furious. I've been making wine at home, but I make it out of raisins, so it'll be aged automatically. I'm in Little League. I'm on first. I steal third. I went straight across. Earlier in the week, I learned that the shortest distance between two points was a straight line. So I argued with the umpire that second base was out of my way. Do you think when they asked George Washington for his ID, he just took out a quarter? George trying to decide something. Call it in the air, me or tails.
Me or tails.
My theory of evolution is that Darwin was adopted. About a year year ago, my girlfriend was on the pill using a diaphragm and an IUD all at once. Recently, she had a baby. Baby was born wearing armor. I wear eyeglasses during the day. Yesterday, I was walking down the street wearing my eyeglasses, and all of a sudden, a prescription ran out. Thanks a lot.
Man, some of his jokes are like my favorite jokes ever.
I like them, but like
he's so creative.
Yeah, I can see they're creative. Not some of them fell flat for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say earlier in the set, right?
Yeah.
And then it got funnier later.
He had more like right back to back, and I actually like some of his concepts. I love the. My friend walked his dog all at once. Like
see
all
what
the
I mean?
Times you will ever walk the
Very
dog.
Very fictional, right? Yeah. Like, but it's still clever. Like it's pretty funny. Next, I'm gonna play for you. So here's who Stephen Wright is battling, dude.
Okay.
A very dark individual, who I think
is.
I don't mean in color.
Okay.
I mean in you know.
Shrouded in controversy.
Yeah, he's. I don't think I've ever played for you him before. You before.
Yes, you have.
Yes.
Yes, you have. It was really old, and we made fun of it afterwards. Yep. It was black and white.
I didn't even tell you who.
Woody Allen.
No, that's not who I'm about to play.
You're not about to play Woody
Allen? We already did the old school now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm going to play Woody Allen later. That's what you saw, probably.
Okay.
So I got, right now I got Anthony Jeselnik, dude. Anthony Jeselnik is like, I mean, he's a current comic, dude.
Okay, okay.
He's got his couple albums out. He just had a Netflix special, which I thought was so great. One of the best ones I saw last year. Something about him just makes me laugh. It was so hard for me to find the right track to play for you.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I almost want to show you more like after this because he just has so many great ones. But this is the one that I got that we're going with. It's about the same amount of length of time as Stephen Wright. So
okay.
Let's play it.
We just found out my little brother has a peanut allergy. A peanut allergy, which is very serious, I know. But still, I feel like my parents are totally overreacting. They caught me eating a tiny little bag of airline peanuts, and they kicked me out of his funeral.
He's super young here. This is old.
I feel like some of you guys might be too nice to laugh at some of these jokes. And that's okay. Not everybody has a great sense of humor. You guys will probably love my little nephew. He's like 6 years old. So cute. I talk to him every day on the phone. He's unbelievable. He's got like the greatest imagination ever. He's either going to be an incredible artist someday, or he really did get molested.
Oh, man.
Dude, it's better.
I wasn't even laughing about that one. I was thinking about what's coming. I feel like I need to say, like, I really believe this, that being a mother seems like one of the toughest jobs in the world. Right? Like, literally, right below comedian. So to me, if a mother does her best, then in my book, she's a good mom. Now, my mom did her very best. Unfortunately, she was also a terrible person. Like, my mom, for most of her life, and this is true, my mom, for most of her life, was a Holocaust denier. Does everybody know what that means? I mean, she couldn't believe the Holocaust happened. It's like the worst thing you can be. And it was terrible for the entire family to have to deal with. Until finally, a couple of years ago, we had an intervention. And we had a rabbi come into the home, had him walk her through the history of the Jewish people. And then he made her watch Schindler's List. And after that, my mom did a complete 180. Now, she can't believe it only happened once.
Oh, man.
Ha 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 ha. religious person. I would call myself an atheist. You know, I don't have a good story behind it. I'm just reasonable. My girlfriend has got like the greatest story behind why she's not religious anymore. So when she was a kid, like 12 years old, her parents nailed a 25-pound crucifix to the wall right above her bed. About 2 weeks later, in the middle of the night, the crucifix falls off the wall and leaves a 2-inch gash in the back of her dad's head. Like, whether you laughed or not, you gotta admit, that's a fucking great story.
That's it.
That was it?
That's it for that one.
Alright, can't wait to see who's next.
Well, the why?
Oh wait, because the other. Oh wait, it's between him and the other guy, right?
Yeah, him and Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wright. I would say Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made me laugh more.
I feel like I didn't play such a great clip of Anthony Jeselnik for you.
I don't think you did either.
I thought all that stuff was hilarious.
You know what it is? I don't like slow talkers.
Mm-hmm. That's like, what Stephen Wright is too.
I know, but at least I laughed more at his material, because I don't find, like, I'm not saying he shouldn't have said any of that stuff. I just don't find like molestation funny.
Yeah, like, it's just true. Well,
I'm not trying to say that he can't say that stuff. I'm like, that's fine. Like, clearly, go say whatever you want. It's just like, if you're asking me which is funny, I'm like, I like Stephen Wright better, because at least I laughed at some of
his... You might not like his new special then.
Well, I don't care.
Like, no, he's got some great stuff. I love how shocking it is. I love how, like, it's such a, like, each joke takes you on a ride.
Yeah.
Like, you're hearing it step by step, and then it drops it on you. And then when you get to know his style, he never changes his style. Like, all his specials are the same. When you get to know his style, you know that every end of each thing he's doing is going to be a left turn, and you can never guess which turn
if you're always, it's like the M. Night Shyamalan thing. You're always waiting for the big twist at the end.
Also,
you can call the twists.
I've noticed in his newest specials that people know how dark he gets and how like much of a turn he'll take a topic, and that you don't see it coming. That they still don't see what coming, but they know something's coming, to the point where they're laughing at the setup, because as soon as he gives you a setup of like a normal everyday life, they just like, oh God, like, because they just know, like, how is he going to turn this around to be so dark? Mm-hmm. So like, he can just tell you like, so I was babysitting my niece, and you just go, oh geez. Like, you just know that it's going to get, dude, you got to watch some other ones. So you're going with Stephen Wright on this one.
I'm going with Stephen Wright. And honestly, even the Stephen Wright one, I was like,
Well, I'm trying to not pick like the longest clips. The problem with one-liner comics or joke tellers is that they could do so many jokes in one set, and a lot of these clips were like, you know, 15 minutes long.
Well,
I'm just trying to show like five minutes of each person.
With the Anthony Jeselnik one, I mean, a lot of it too is just like how slow he talks.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was waiting for the applause at the end, you could tell that it's just like they weren't laughing the way I wanted them to laugh.
That's an older clip of it too. I mean, he was very young. I'm going to go with Jeselnik on this one, dude. Okay. I just love his writing. I just think that he is like so creative and like, dude, forget out of the box. Like, he, you know, there's not even a box with him, you know what I mean?
It felt very boxed.
No way, dude. You have to get to know him a little bit more. I'm gonna send you some other clips that are getting, you'll be crying, dude. He's like,
actually,
so good.
The only one that I actually thought was like funny, well, not funny, it was just like clever, it's just like, my nephew has a really great imagination.
Yeah.
He's either going to be a great artist, or he actually was molested.
And it makes you really do some thinking. Like, some of them take you a second, and then you get it. And then, like, the peanut one, I think, was so funny. Like,
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It's just like...
But obviously, like, none of it's true.
I know it's not true, but it's just like, when you're waiting on the punchline, like you can see, not that you can see that punchline coming, but you can see a punchline coming.
Well, of
like
course, a million yeah. miles. Well, there away. Better be a punchline coming.
Well, obviously, but I'm saying you can see it coming. Mm-hmm. I like it when you can't see it coming. All of a sudden, you just laugh. Like
yeah, it's what just I what, like, well, what I his just, thing
I just,
is
I just can't stand slow builders.
Okay, well, yeah, his thing is not that you can't see or you don't like to see the punchline coming. His, you see it's coming, but you just don't know what it's going to be. But you yeah. know it's going to be off the wall, but it's still going to be so funny. Yeah. Like you can't guess his punchlines. Definitely not hacky, I'd say.
I didn't say
it was hacky. No. Yeah, no, I know you didn't. So we have another tiebreaker here, dude, for next time.
Dude, I think they're all going to be tiebreakers.
I don't know, man. I've got, by the way, one of my favorite jokes of Anthony Jeselnik, which is probably from that album because it is older, is the one where he continues to talk about his mom and how weird she is. And he goes like, she's so weird. And he's like, my mom keeps pictures of Princess Diana all over her house. And he goes, I know what you're thinking, Anthony, that's not that weird. He goes, but it's after the accident. <That's> And then he goes, and they're drawings. Dude, it's so funny.
That's funny. I think that.
And he only got better, dude. Like yeah, he's just. Great. I see him at the store all the time too.
I'd be willing to give it another shot. I'm just saying.
I'll send you some stuff that I think that you'll like. I'll steer clear of the molestation stuff.
I don't even care about like that stuff. Doesn't bother me.
Molestation doesn't bother you?
No. Hearing a comic talk about it doesn't bother me. I just don't feel it's funny. But they can talk about it all they want as long as everybody else is enjoying it. I'm not trying to talk down. You can't say that on stage. It's just like I just don't find that funny.
So the next one that I'm gonna play for you. So the next cat, I'm gonna do some storytellers.
Oh boy.
We're gonna do some stories. So this is the one that I played for you before, and I actually think that I played this one on the first ever Laughter Piece Theater that we ever did.
Okay.
So some of you guys maybe never heard that I played it. And there's so many different great storytellers out there, but I'm comparing these two. For some reason, I think that they just kind of like remind me of each other. So I'm gonna play Woody Allen and battling John Mulaney.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, I mean, John Mulaney, I don't think is necessarily a storyteller. He just has like a lot of great bits.
Okay.
And then sometimes he also has a lot of stories, and he's really great at telling the stories.
I feel like anything I've ever heard from him was a story.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I think
because
so.
I probably like his stories the most, and I play them for you a lot.
I like his stories.
But he's
too.
Got stuff that are not necessarily stories.
I really like and John Mulaney.
I do too, and I think that like he's like the new version of like Woody Allen. They're both really good storytellers. You know, they're both snappy dressers, really obviously great writers and talented people and successful young people that made it successful at a young age. So I think this is a great old school versus new school. So first, I'll play for you Woody Allen, one of my favorite stories ever, the one that he does called The Moose.
I shot a moose once. I didn't mean to break it to you that way. I shot a moose. I was hunting upstate New York in the woods.
The way they move and like, he wears his suit and stuff, it's like so Mulaney, you know.
Onto the fender of my car, and I drove back home. But I didn't realize that the bullet had not penetrated the moose. But it just creased its scalp, knocking it unconscious. I'm driving home along the highway, and I'm going through a tunnel. The moose woke up. So I'm driving with a live moose on my fender. The moose is signaling for a turn. And there's a law in New York State against driving with a conscious moose Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. All right, I don't know what to do. I'm panicking. I realize some friends of mine are having a costume party. I'll go with the moose. I'll ditch him at the party. It wouldn't be my responsibility. So I drive to the party. I go up to the front door. The moose is next to me. I knock on the front door. The host comes to the door. I say, hello. You know the Solomons. We go in. The moose starts to mingle. Goes to the buffet table. Some guy tries to sell him insurance. The moose is doing great, meanwhile, you know. He's scored. 12 o'clock comes. They judge who's got the best costume of the night. First prize goes to the Berkowitzes. A married couple dressed in a moose suit. The moose comes in second. The moose is furious. He and the Berkowitzes lock antlers in the living room. They knock each other unconscious. Now I figure I'll get rid of him for good. I pile him on the fender and speed up to the woods. But I got the Berkowitzes. I'm driving along with two Jewish people on my fender. There's a law in New York State. The next morning, the Berkowitzes wake up in the woods in a moose suit. Mr. Berkowitz is shot, stuffed, and mounted at the New York City Golf Club. And the joke is on them because they don't allow Jews.
I think you actually played that one before.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we have. Yeah, I definitely have. It's one of my favorite liked it stories ever.
The second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's obviously a fictional story, but still very clever, and I think he's brilliant. I think it's brilliant. I'm gonna play for you. By the way, I was like trying so hard to find this. This clip is not anywhere. I mean, that's the problem when you got Netflix specials. You know, a lot of the times comedy albums, they have a special, so the album comes out too, and then it goes everywhere. This one, I couldn't even get his album on iTunes, nothing, because it's just a Netflix special. So I actually did find the clip on Twitter. Like, someone posted the whole story, which, like, I'm glad they did, because this is the one I really want. This is a Mulaney story, which I'm pretty sure.
I'm loaded up Netflix on the computer.
Yeah, I guess we could. I'm pretty sure that you've never heard this John Mulaney story before. Okay. Okay.
Only one way to find out, brah.
I'm going to be really mad if you go, oh, I've heard this. Or I played this before.
President. That was the Bill Clinton that I met. I got to meet Bill Clinton when he was Governor Clinton in 1992, when he was first running for president. And I got to meet Bill Clinton because my parents had gone to the same college as Bill Clinton. They were a little younger, but they went to the same college. So when he was first running for president, he would have all these big, like, alumni fundraisers, and everyone who went was invited to go. Now, this was really cool for a couple reasons. One, I got to meet Bill Clinton. But two, I got to watch my parents watch someone they went to school with become the president. And that is super funny to see. Because think about some of the people you went to school with. Now imagine they're becoming the president. Imagine Sam was becoming the president.
So it was probably a character that he mentioned earlier in the set.
I think he was doing crowd work with a guy named Sam.
And my parents had very different opinions on Bill Clinton. My mom loved Bill Clinton. Because Bill Clinton was always a really charismatic, handsome guy. I mean, think about how many women he got in the 1990s when he looked like Frank Caliendo doing John Madden. Now, imagine him as a college student. And my mom tells me that there was this sort of chivalrous policy on campus back then where late at night, if female students were leaving the library unaccompanied, male students were encouraged to wait out in front and offer to walk them home. That sounds good, right? So my mom tells me that Bill Clinton would be out in front of the library every single night. Just being like, hey, can I walk you home? 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 And one night, my mom was leaving the library, and Bill Clinton was like, hey, can I walk you home? And my mom was like, hell yes. So this is absolutely true. My mom, little Ellen Stanton, walked arm in arm with Bill Clinton to her dorm, and she was like, you know, I wanted to invite him up for a beer. And I was like, thanks, I'm nine, but. Her roommate was upstairs, so she lost her chance with Bill Clinton. Now, my dad, on the other hand, hated Bill Clinton because my parents were dating during this time. And also, my dad dad's a much more like morally upright conservative kind of guy. He always told me that he hated it in college that Bill Clinton could, quote, get away with anything. Can you imagine how he felt later? So one day this invitation arrives for a fundraiser where you can meet Bill Clinton. My mom opens it first and she goes, oh, we have to go. We have to go see Bill. And without looking up at her, my dad just says, why? It's not like he's gonna remember you. One black coffee. Same motherfucker.
Remember that one? When his dad orders one black coffee at McDonald's?
So my mom says, fine, I'll go and I'll take John. And I was like, hell yeah. And I slid in the room in my first communion suit ready to go. Because I loved Bill Clinton. I was 10 years old. If you were a kid when Bill Clinton was first released, it was the most exciting thing ever.
First release.
We'd never seen a cool politician before. And he would go on MTV and he'd have cool answers to kids' questions. They'd be like, Governor, what's your favorite food? And he'd be like, I don't know, fries? And we'd be like, yay, we eat fries! I learned to play his campaign song on the piano. It was Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac. From Rumors, an album written by and for people cheating on each other. He let us know who he was right away. So I went with my mom as her date to reconnect with Governor Bill Clinton. We walked into the ballroom. It was a big hotel ballroom. It was the Palmer House Hilton, big Hilton Hotel ballroom. Walked into the ballroom, it was packed with people. It's actually, it's the ballroom from the end of the movie, The Fugitive. So, that ballroom. So, my mom and I walk in, it's packed with people. The end where Harrison Ford as Dr. Richard Kimball bursts in to confront Dr. Charles Nichols, right? Okay, so, that ballroom. So, my mom and I walk in, it's packed with people. Why does Kimball confront Nichols? Well, I know we all know this, but Kimball, he found out that Nichols, along with Devlin McGregor and Lentz, who's mysteriously died, they had hired Frederick Sykes, the one-armed man, to kill Kimball. Kimball's wife wasn't even the target, I know we all know this, but they were going to kill Kimball because he wasn't going to approve certain liver samples to pass RUD-90. So Kimball finds out about all of this, and of course he's furious. And he bursts in the ballroom and he goes, you switched the samples! And Dr. Nichols is like, ladies and gentlemen, my friend Dr. Richard Kimball. What accent did that guy have, by the way? He goes, you switched the samples! And you doctored your research so that you could have Provasic. Anyway, so it's that ballroom. So we walk into that ballroom. It was packed with people.
Oh, man. Oh, is that the end of it?
No, we got a little buffer.
It was packed with people. Okay, a real who's not of Chicago celebrities. Walter Jacobson was there. Walter Jacobson was the local Fox anchor. He'd do fun things where he'd go undercover as a homeless person. And he'd be like, oh, what time is the soup? And they'd be like, man, you're Walter Jacobson. He was there. Everybody. And on the far side of the ballroom, under a spotlight, we saw a little bit of silver hair. And it was him, Bill Clinton, the comeback kid. But he was surrounded by reporters and photographers and Secret Service. So what are you gonna do? Well, if you're my mom, you ball up the back of my sport coat and you push me forward like a human shield. And then you start jogging while yelling, this 10-year-old boy has to meet the next president of the United States. Kind of implying that I might be dying. My feet were not on the ground. She was swinging me like a snowplow. I was just mowing down fat Chicago Democrats. I pushed past all the reporters. I pushed past all the photographers. We pushed past all the Secret Service. We land at Bill Clinton's feet. Bill Clinton turns, looks at my mom, and says, hey, Ellen, because he never forgets a bitch, ever. Bill. Then it is revealed that she has no plan. So she she pushes me towards Clinton, and she goes, this is my son, John, and he's also going to be president. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not going to be president. And I know now that I'm definitely never going to be president. Not unless everyone gets real cool about a bunch of stuff really quickly. Based on my 10-year-old memory, Bill Clinton is about 13 feet tall. And he leaned down because, well, I was wearing this button that I bought outside the fundraiser. It was a cartoon button of George H.W. Bush. And it had a quail flying over his head. And it was shitting on his head. And it said, bird-brained. And I thought it was very funny. And Bill Clinton leaned down so that only I could hear. And he said, hey, man. I like your button. And I said, you can do whatever you want forever. And he took my advice. And it was the best night of my entire life. And I got home that night and my dad was still awake, like reading Angry Under One Lamp, just like, argh. And I went up to him and I went, hey, I'm gonna be a Democrat. And I'm gonna vote for Bill Clinton. And without looking up at me, my dad just said, you have the moral backbone of a chocolate eclair. You know how you talk to a child? So here's the end of that story. That was 1992. Let's flash forward 5 years to 1997. It is now 1997. I am a sophomore in high school. Bill Clinton is in his second term as president. And on the morning that the Monica Lewinsky scandal breaks on the cover of the New York Times, it had been on the Drudge Report, and then it was on the cover of the New York Times. That morning, I wake up to the newspaper hitting me in the face. I am a teenager asleep in bed, and the newspaper hits me in the face and falls open on my stomach. And I open my eyes to see my dad standing there dressed for work. And he says, the other shoe just dropped. And then my dad went into work to find out that his law firm had been hired to defend Bill Clinton.
That was really funny.
It's a great story. Right?
I think my favorite part is when he goes into The Fugitive. That was so right? funny. I'm like, okay, The Fugitive. But then he kept on going back to it, and then he started breaking out. Like, this is – I'm so glad that he actually took that break to – because it had right? nothing to do with the rest of the joke.
Right.
Provasic. All for Provasic.
You know what's funny is if he had a little joke or a story about that movie, it wouldn't have done – like, I mean, it had some funny parts, but it wouldn't have been fine on its own.
No.
So he had to, like, sneak it into that story, and it made it just so brilliant that went into it and then came back to his story. I love when there's, like, a side joke and story, and you can come back to your story.
Well, not only that, I always get sidetracked by movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, like – I mean, just even quoting movies are just, like, it always comes up in a conversation of mine. I just thought that was funny.
It is really funny. I would say as far as, like, punchlines, maybe there's not as many. It's a longer story than Woody mm-hmm. Allen's, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as many punchlines, but there's something intriguing and interesting. And John takes a lot of true stories and makes them funny. It's one thing to take a fake story.
He's a smooth talker, too. I like his voice better than Woody Allen's.
Mm-hmm. I still see a similarity.
I can see the similarity, but I like John Mulaney way better. I think he's way more talented. I mean, we've heard a lot of his jokes, and remember how I was talking about the last guys? I'm like, I hate a slow buildup.
Mm-hmm.
He does not do that at all. I mean, like, he has long buildups, but everything is funny that he's talking about, and he just keeps your attention. You know?
He's a good performer and a good writer.
Yes, yes.
And it's like so challenging to take a true story and make it funny. That's why he adds in the fugitive part and all these other little things that, you know, are just kind of.
I think he added the fugitive part because that was the true part of the story. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think it just felt like it would be funny if I just talked about that for a second.
Yeah.
And, you know, I liked it how he wasn't trying to make it funny. He was just, like, it almost felt naturally.
Yeah.
And he kept going back to the fugitive. I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk about the fugitive for a second because this part's been on my mind. Why did he interrupt him?
I mean, I love when these guys, they take a real story and they just tell you exactly what happened. And sometimes it's like they don't even have to be, like – I don't know. I mean, maybe they are written or maybe changed and altered a little bit. But I mean, like, you know, Tom Segura's story about when he met Mike Tyson. I mean, it's like a real story that happened. But it's so funny. And like, it does the voices. He performs it well. And I'm sure he added in some punchlines and altered it a little bit. I'm gonna go with Mulaney on this one.
Dude. Oh yeah, me too.
Man, we finally agreed on one.
Yeah,
finally agreed on one. Yeah. I fucking love John Mulaney. I love that story. It's just a good story. I like just someone looks back in their history, and this is like his third album, by the way. How has that not been on any of your other albums?
How old is he?
At the time when that special came out, I think he was 35, and now he's got to be. I think he's had a special since then.
Okay.
So he's got to be like 37 or 38 or something now. Yeah. I mean, he had a successful start to his career. He wrote for SNL. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, he's a great writer. Somebody messaged you on Facebook, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. I like listening to his stories, man. I just like listening to him talk. And that's what I was saying is, like, when you have a crazy story like that, like, how many people met Bill Clinton and then the dad was the lawyer?
Yeah.
Like, how are you not talking about that on your first special? Like, you have that many stories that didn't make it in until special three?
He was probably waiting for politics. Yeah. Even though it wasn't even very political. It's just about.
Well, I also think that it wasn't necessarily one of the funniest stories, though.
No.
So he had to wait until he was famous a little bit.
That's what I felt like. That's he had to wait.
Yeah. And that story was, I mean, that special is really funny, and he closes on that.
Okay.
On that story, which, like, when you have a long story, you close on it, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. Agreed. Good battle, although half of them are we got to do tiebreakers eventually. But yeah, I'll find some better Jeselnik ones for you.
Yeah, please do.
All right, that's it, you guys. Thanks for tuning in. That was the episode. I got a couple of dates coming up. You guys should check the website. It's homeschooledpod.com, or you can go to agostinocomedian.com. Same thing. Click on tour, homeschooledpod.com. Click on tour, and you can see the upcoming dates. I'm at the Comedy Store a little bit in April, a couple times in April, and then I'm in Hemet, California on March 21st. Just a couple of dates. I'm just adding more. And, you know, make sure while you're there, you go over to click on merch and pick up a couple of t-shirts or a hoodie or something to support the Homeschool Podcast. And don't forget to click the link in the description for Embrace Pet Insurance to get yourself a quote today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I want to thank Kevin Lyons for doing this podcast for me. This week, I got a couple of great guests for you. So the next episodes are going to have some great guests here on the Homeschool Podcast. But, you know, once a month, we do these Laughter Piece Theaters, and I hope that you guys are enjoying them. And we'll see you guys next time. Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
No, okay.
I don't want to do that at all.